Hey. The clock is ticking. Hallelujah. Amen. She said, I have an hour. We just moved it up 30 minutes. Okay. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You guys are getting ready to enter into probably, I believe, one of the most exciting studies. It's going to be a quick study. It's not so theological and so deep. You know, that it's beyond where we're at or our ability to be able to fulfill it. Amen. But I believe it's a course that's on time with the kingdom. And this is a time when God is shifting us into the day of the saints. Say the day of the saints.
Day of the saints.
In that Bishop Hammond wrote a book on the day of the saints. Anybody in here read that book?
Yeah.
Anybody read? Everybody should read that book. If you was to say, what book out of the 16 books that Bishop Hammond's written that should I read? I would say The Day of the Saints. Because it's probably covering the foundations of the eternal church, prophets of personal prophecy, the prophetic movement is probably covering, apostles, prophets, coming moves of God, and all of those, probably covering all those subjects. But the one thing that it is covering, is it's covering the marketplace. Everybody say marketplace. In 1986, as we launched conferences in the restoration of the prophetic there in the panhandle of Florida, amen, God put a vision in Bishop Hammond's heart. Now, I don't say I wish it would have been my vision, because my vision is that whatever God put in his heart to fulfill that vision. Amen. So you might say I've been a second man to Bishop for 40 years. Amen. And to make him a success and to follow the vision that God has given him. Amen. But God began to bring to revelation about ministers in the marketplace. And where is the next major thrust of the Holy Spirit? Amen. It's not just going to be in coliseums and evangelists coming to your town or, revival meetings in your church. No, the next thrust or major move of the Holy Spirit, I believe, is in the marketplace in your sphere of influence. Amen. That's why you heard, so much terminology such as getting out of the four walls of the church. And we have to be careful with that, because God is not saying get out of this four walls of this building. Well, we don't even have four walls in this building. Come on, we got six walls in this building. Amen. He's not talking about getting out of the walls of this building, but he's talking about getting out of the walls of the church, getting out of the walls of your mind, out of your fear, your intimidation, your insecurity, and that lack of confidence, and being able to be bold in the things of the Spirit. Amen. And so each one of you, amen, hopefully are involved in some area of the seven mountain kingdoms of business, religion, arts and entertainment, media. Amen. You're into one of the seven mountains of business structure. Amen. And God's wanting you to be able to make an impact into that mountain. Amen. And so how many of you know our assignment is to destroy the powers of darkness and to usher in the kingdom of light. Amen. And so in doing that, we must have knowledge, amen, about the direction that God is leading us. And so God gave Bishop Hammond a vision on what we called years ago our business network. Excuse me. Christian National Business Network. And so we begin to focus on people, business people, and then identifying who are business people. Well, we understand that it goes from the highest, in your corporate arena to the housewife that orders groceries at home. Amen. And there's no big I's and little U's in the marketplace. We're all filtered into the marketplace one way or another. And so beginning to minister to business people, we done a consensus. We, in one of our conference, we had all the business people come together that came to that conference for some outlining and briefing on business. And in that briefing, amen, we talked about what business people in the church need, that the pastor in the pulpit needs. And what is the difference between your need as a minister in the marketplace and the minister of the prophet or the minister of the apostle or the pastor or the evangelist or the teacher? And in discussing that with business people, we discovered, amen, that business people need everything that a pastor needs. You need the foundation, you need the teaching, you need the activation, amen. You need to have the understanding of the kingdom of God. You need to have the understanding of the doctrines of faith. You need to have understanding of fivefold ministry, Holy Spirit empowerment. You need to have understanding, amen, of the outreach of the kingdom of God into the earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So we discovered that business people need everything that a fivefold minister needs. Then we begin to discover that not all are called to a typical pulpit ministry. Some of you are called to ministry in the construction business. Some of you in doctor's office. Some of you at cash registers at Walmart. Some of you, you know, have your own businesses, building fences or building homes or, you know, doing repairing a blacktop to a wide variety of businesses. Amen. But you're all called to an area of business in the corporate arena. Amen. And so we believe that the next big revival is going to be through the saints of God impacting your sphere of influence. Amen. And maybe shifting our mindset of not just going to church, but rather being the church. Amen. And breaking out of the mindset that we're just to listen to what somebody says, to begin to understand that we must be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. Amen. And so we begin to develop business courses over the course of years. And I would say that CI has invested probably close to $1 million in writing of courses and writing of material and development over the last 25, 30 years, amen, for marketplace ministry. What we discovered is that it's one of the hardest places to break into. There's more jealousy, there's more competition, there's more strife, there's more orphaned or independence in the marketplace than just about any other area in our personal lives. And breaking into that area, whenever you talk about money, it just seems like that old root of evil tries to pop up. Amen? But you need to understand that God has called you to prosper. Say, He's called me to prosper. Amen. He's called you to be people at the top. And sometimes you can look at somebody that's, you're going to be hearing from people over this next month that are going to be speaking to you that have been at the very, very top of the ladder in the corporate arena. Amen. You're going to be hearing from different ones. It's going to bring you a lot of insight. Amen. But you must be careful that you don't compare yourself to somebody else. Amen. And so we have people that are at the top at Whirlpool. We have people that are at the top in ministry. We have people at the top in construction and in business and in marketing and all the different facets of business. Amen. So regardless of what field of business that you're in, amen, you need to be trained. You need to be equipped as ministers in the marketplace. Amen. And so we begin to have to correct our terminology over the last 10 years. And so we got our wings way out there, and we was ordaining apostles, prophets, teachers, and pastors in the marketplace, and glory to God, it was going well until we had a people get into legal trouble, amen, trying to mix business and ministry under a 501c3 or as a nonprofit when they wasn't truly nonprofit, and begin to get into some legal issues. So we drew back, amen, to pray and to reevaluate how are we going to not coming against our government, but how are we going to develop the ministry and charging those that are called to ministry in the marketplace without creating trouble at the same time. Amen. And so we begin to develop a seven mountain kingdom influencers. Amen. That God wants to send you to influence and to be an influence in the seven mountain kingdom. Now, I like to say to drive out the false kingdom influencers. How many know there's false kingdom influencers that are trying to influence government? We've been listening to it for the last several months and still hearing it through the media. We have people that are trying to influence for evil and not for good. Amen. People of greed and people of abusive natures in many different areas that are trying to bring influence into the marketplace. And it's time for kingdom of God influencers to arise and begin to take your rightful place. Amen. In establishing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Look at somebody say, it's our time. Amen. So it's our time for that impact. And normally in this class, you would come together and you would do like a 2-hour session of just teaching. But you're going to come together, amen, in a little different format. And we're going to have some worship. Amen. We're going to bring some life of the Spirit to it. Amen. And then we're going to give you an impartation. Amen. But while I was sitting there, I just maybe want to challenge you, Apostle Janet, that you're doing this class now, but in another 3 to 6 months, I would plan to do it again. And I believe you'll double in people that need to come, because you don't just need to hear this stuff one time. You need to hear it over and over until you get it in your spirit and you begin to implement that word. Amen. If you have your workbooks with you, we're going to jump right into chapter 1. And I'm going to try to launch this with you. We're going to do some reading and some sharing. And we're going to move rather quickly. But if you'll follow in your workbooks, you'll see you have areas that you can fill in. And you try to get those areas filled in. If not, you'll have to go back over the CD or reading of the manual to fill them in. Amen. But just a little bit of background. I'll give you some background on CI very briefly. Amen. When CI began to launch the Christian National Business Network, it was like, I believe there was about two networks that were actually targeting in the marketplace at that time. Amen. After we had launched that, it seemed like there were dozens, and I think we ended up for a few years, there was over 60 networks that were beginning to target and launch into the marketplace with marketplace networks and marketplace ministries. Today, many of those have stepped back in that thrust because of the opposition and because of the circumstances that we was running into in trying to reach business people and just pulling business people together so that they could learn to impact the kingdom of God. But I'm telling you, there's a major thrust that is happening right now throughout America and throughout the nations of the world that is targeting business people, targeting the marketplace. There's going to be opportunities arising like you have never seen before. Amen. If you're an entrepreneur, amen, God has a platform for you. If you're a business person, God has a new breakthrough for you. Amen. We begin to get concepts and we begin to hear by the Holy Spirit, amen, how to shift from the place that we're in to that next place. Once you realize and accept your calling as a business person. In the charismatic movement, there was a real a shift in the marketplace. I came into Christian National right in probably the tail end of the charismatic movement in the latter 70s. But at that time, business people were feeling called into the ministry, but no revelation on marketplace ministers in the late 70s and 80s. This is as far back as that was. Amen. And so business people were trying to be in ministry and ignoring their business and trying to get out of business so that they could be in ministry, because they didn't understand that there was a Nehemiah anointing that would anoint them, amen, to not only have ministry in the church and in the kingdom, but would give them a ministry that would impact the kingdoms of this world. Amen. But now revelation is beginning to flow. Amen. And we're seeing ministers activated in their membership ministry in the marketplace. Amen. And in your cars, in your homes, or the business place, or wherever God has you. Just a little bit of background in your manual. It said in the 1970s and 80s, the major corporations in America actually discovered they were facing quality crisis. Say quality crisis. There's so much in all of this. I'm going to move quickly, but around the world, leading foreign manufacturers had established a reputation for quality, while the reputation of similar American products was actually declining. And we ask a question: what caused this workmanship crisis. Amen. And so we can look back in history for some of the details surrounding this situation. And if you're old enough and have done enough of your history homework, you may remember that soon after World War II, the Japanese began to revive the economy, and the world market was flooded with products stamped made in Japan. Anybody bought one? Or bought several. Amen. And but today when we look back on these products, there were specific things that we remember that were said about these products that were being produced at that time. And some of those comments were, they were like called cheap, they were called copies, they were called inferior, unreliable, they were called shoddy, dime store quality, of poor quality. Amen. There was a whole list of uncomplimentary descriptive words. But as we look at what has happened in the last 55 years, we have to ask the same question again today in reference to the Japanese products. Amen. And we are getting these type of answers. And the descriptive words today are, they're high quality, they're reliable, they're complex, they're expensive, they're high tech, they're state of the art. And we see that there is a, that there is an elevation in the product. And so in the 50-year period since the end of World War II, amen, Japan turned around the entire world's view of their productivity and industrial capability and how this was all accomplished. The Japanese industry adopted a new understanding of quality and workmanship. Say that with me. Quality and workmanship. Amen. And they begin to apply the principles of workmanship into their factories and offices. Amen. Starting in the 90s and into the present day, America production companies have learned from and implemented these total quality management techniques that were used in Japan in those years. Thus, in the last two decades, American industries have significantly improved production quality through the utilization, amen, of total quality management procedures. Amen. Now, as a greater trend toward global productivity and the competitive pressures that have resulted in the United States in the U.S. market, it continues to recognize the need for improvement in productivity. Because of this trend towards global competition, biblical workmanship principles are applicable not only in the United States, but also throughout the global market. The biblical workmanship principles taught in these lessons are now applicable to God's marketplace saints, amen, of any nation, Christian business people, as an understanding of workmanship. This has to start with each one of us. See, it has to start with me. It has to start with us. This lesson addresses a fresh look at work and workmanship in the hopes of your vision, amen, can be renewed and God's purposes can be fulfilled. Now, present day crisis. So we're going to talk on this for just a little bit. Amen. But there is a kingdom shift. If we look at trends in the natural and we look at trends in the spiritual and the supernatural, amen, we can see how they begin to align. When the Lord moved us to Versailles, Indiana, I felt a word of the Lord in my spirit, and God said, it looks like there's nothing here, but as I bring you into this place, then I will begin to align the natural for the spiritual. Amen. And so God will align you in your marketplace. He'll align you in your positions in the workplace. Amen. And as you begin to call upon God and you put God first in your businesses, amen, God will cause the natural to begin to align up with the spiritual. Amen. As we see trends of the natural and bringing things into a quality productivity, amen, we see the spiritual, amen, beginning to bring into alignment. Amen. So as you look at the world and you look at the church, you can see parallels. Amen. And you can see how God is moving in the earth at large. Amen. And so he's not just prospering businesses in the marketplace. He is prospering the kingdom. He's prospering the church. Amen. But we must arise in our authority and begin to establish our authority in the workplace. Amen. And so the present day crisis, we're going to talk about the work ethic. Amen. And it's been said that our nation was founded, amen, on the Protestant work ethic. This work ethic says that work is ordained of God. It is good for man to work, and that you should receive a day's wage, amen, for a day's work. Now, I was raised in a family of 12 children, and my father was a hard worker. He was a union worker, and at a very young age, he began to teach. My parents had 9 boys, amen, and began to teach us boys a work ethic, amen. And so we learned how to work the hard way, amen. And so, you know, if you didn't work, you had to pick yourself up the floor, you know. So, amen. So we learned how to work. I learned simple things like, you don't get on your knees and crawl around. You squat. You never get on your knees. You never get on the ground. I learned hard, what was hard work ethics, but it was those work ethics, amen, that caused me to prosper in business as I grew. Today, we're not having that quality of work ethic that is being imparted. I was asking the father this afternoon, and he said, because of the fatherless generation, amen, the trades and trends and all are not being passed down, amen, to the younger generations. But I believe there's a cry coming from the younger generations, amen, saying, come and teach us, come and help us, amen. And but it's going to be done a little bit different, amen. So our older mentality has got to shift, amen, into the kingdom now, and the kingdom now has to be open to receive, amen, the wisdom and impartation from the older. But God's in the process of merging all of these things together. But work is ordained of God. Say, it's ordained of God. Amen. In the last 50 years, the work ethic in America has deteriorated. Even in the Christian community, business and work is looked upon as something of a lesser calling and therefore is not respected or appreciated. That's where I was sharing with you in the charismatic movement. Amen. Business people thought in order to be fulfilling that spiritual call upon their life, they was having to neglect or walk away from their businesses, and literally millionaires were going bankrupt up in the charismatic movement, trying to fulfill a place of ministry, not understanding that it is Christ in them, the hope of glory, come on now, and that they have the mind of Christ, and they can be ministers right in the place where God has them. Look at somebody and say, God has you in the right place. Amen. So it's understanding, amen, and allowing yourself to be trained and operate in the things of the Spirit right where God has you. The church in general is still confused about the division of secular and spiritual, claiming some things are more holy than others and stigmatizing those that are not spiritual. Work has been looked down upon by the church as not having a, quote, place in the plan of God other than to sustain those who are not in full-time ministry. Amen. So God is breaking down those walls between clergy and laity and understanding, amen, that when we come together as the body of Christ, there is the ecclesiastical priesthood, amen, that is giving impartation, that is hearing God, amen, but it is to stimulate, to activate, and to empower you as ministers of the Most High God to go into your spheres of influence and begin to make kingdom impact through quality business. Say, quality business. Amen. And so learning to be good stewards and learning how to reestablish ourselves in the marketplace. So God has ordained work. In 1 Timothy 5 and 8, it says the man that does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. And I looked that up and it didn't sound too good. Hallelujah. So I decided I'd rather work. Glory to God. Amen. And to in Proverbs 8, 6 to 11 and 13 and 4. Amen. He says, consider the ant and begin to watch the ant and look how the ant works and look at the coordination and look at the strength of the ant and look at the leadership and look, consider the ant. If you want to know how to work and to be busy and everybody do their part, amen, consider the ant. Amen. And I was in Miami and we had a we'd done a meeting with some millennials, and As we were talking, I was about 15 millennials there, and we was talking about business, we was talking about the younger generation, the older generation, and they were trying to explain what they see as a work ethic today, amen, and parallel to our work ethic, it would be almost totally different. Now, it doesn't mean it was a bad work ethic, but it just means it was a totally different work ethic. But what they're discovering, amen, is that the work ethic that they have is lacking something. Come on now. And it's lacking the impartation, amen, of our generation being imparted into the younger generation and into the newer generation. So look at somebody and say, you're not outdated. You're not outdated. There is a place for you. There's kingdom work for you, amen, and kingdom ethics for you to implement in the marketplace, amen. And so work ethic in America needs to be restored with Christian, Christ-like habits and behaviors and being orchestrated according to the Word of God, amen. And so we need to have that revival, you might say, reviving us, amen, that God is going to use me right where He has me. Amen. And you'll see kingdom impartation in the place where God has you. So something for nothing mentality. I don't know how many times I hear this, just continually, people are wanting something for nothing mentality. And I don't know if it's that they want something for nothing as much as it is, amen, that there has not been the impartation of the heart of the Father. There's not been the impartation of mentoring and fathering those that are in our coming generations. Many Americans have come to the place where they believe they are due a living from the government. The government has created a multitude of social warfare programs which have good intentions but have been poorly managed. Additionally, by creating welfare without providing a way out through work, we have created a poverty class. Now, if you're following me, your workbook, you'll see those are lines, amen, to fill in your workbook. Amen. We have created a poverty class or a mentality, you might say, with limited opportunities for escape, amen, from this condition. Amen. And so what's going to break us through? What is going to break this mentality, getting something for nothing? Now, it appears that way with a lot of people, but I don't think that is altogether the root problem. I think the root problem is they've not seen a demonstration of the kingdom. Amen. I believe as the kingdom of God arises, as kingdom people arise, and you begin to identify your place and position in the marketplace, amen, we'll be able to demonstrate, and others will begin to see, amen, the operation of the kingdom of God as it is in heaven. Look at somebody say, it's our time. Amen. And so God is breaking us out of that old mindset. I was reminded in 1964, they passed the law. I was in San Antonio, Texas at the time. I was a young man, just been married for 2 years, and we had a darling little daughter, and I was a hard worker. And I worked in the marketplace, and I would try to get at least 60 to 70 hours a week. Amen. Because if I could work 60 to 70 hours a week, I could manage, we could manage going to school, we could manage our rent, we could manage our cost of living and all of that. But then they passed a law in 1964 that put a limitation on being able to work overtime, so employers would have to begin to pay time and a half, what is called time and a half. Amen. Well, there was some that said, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory to God. I'm gonna work more hours and I'll make half as much money again. But for me, it caused a fear in me because I need those hours. And what happened in the marketplace is that employers begin to cut back hours under 40 hours and begin to employ more people. amen, in order not to pay the time and half. Foresaw my market, amen, that affected me because then that said that I cannot get the hours that I need to get, amen, to be able to make the provision that we need to make. Amen. So that something for nothing mentality in some people, amen, needs to be shifted, and we don't want to let that type of a mentality creep into the kingdom because it shouldn't be so. Amen. We should be willing to work for what we have and give of what we have. Amen. And John Maxwell said people would rather belch out baloney at the bottom of a mountain rather than climb to the top to get the steak. How many would rather climb to the top to get the steak? I don't want to ask who wants to stay at the bottom. Amen. But I don't know about you, but I would rather climb to the top of the mountain, amen, and learn a better work ethic, amen. So quality crisis. Let's talk about that for a moment. As we discussed at the beginning of this class, when I begin to give you an introduction on history, amen, many industries continued to face quality crisis. However, this is not just a malady of the secular workforce, but it is an epidemic among Christians as well. We no longer take pride in the quality of our work, and productivity has declined. How many of you know we need to have healing in these areas as Christian business people? Amen. I had businesses in Denver, Colorado. As a matter of fact, I had three businesses. I had a painting and decorating, plus we'd done interior design and interior decorating. I also had a drywall business that we supplied a lot of contractors doing all sorts of metal studs and drywall interior finishing. And then we had a custom cabinet shop where we manufactured custom cabinets and specialty bookcases and different things to fit particular custom homes. And so my slogan for our company was "True economy is quality." Amen. And so we had this, I had this work ethic, amen, that I wanted my work, amen, to be a representation of who I was and what I knew, and I took pride in what I'd done. Amen. So my father instilled a work ethic in me is that I should be my worst critic. Amen. I don't wait for somebody else to criticize what I've done. I've already criticized it myself, and I've already corrected it. Amen. In other words, taking responsibility for your work ethic, amen, and being able to produce that quality in your work. There's quality in anything that you do. If you're a ditch digger, amen, dig your ditch straight. Amen. Have your ditch clean. I've talked to ditch diggers, and it amazes me how people in different trades look at their job and they find, what is it in my job that makes this job special? Amen. And begin to get out of any murmuring or complaining or overworking or it's hard or competition is tough. I'm telling you, when you begin to implement kingdom principles into your ethics of work and your workmanship and your productivity, amen, God begins to give you a mind shift that begins to align you, and your business will begin to prosper. Amen. Let's talk about the Christian business crisis. Christians have developed the reputation of being unreliable on the job and unfaithful in business dealings. Look at somebody say, it shouldn't be so. It shouldn't be so. I'm sad to say, I go from city to city throughout the United States of America, and we actually have churches that are trying to find places to rent. And trying to find facilities from Virginia, from Washington D.C. to Nashville, Tennessee to California to all over our nation. And guess what? People are having a hard time finding places to rent to begin to plant new churches. Why? Because the marketplace people don't want to rent to church because of that lack of quality and lack of productivity and lack of faithfulness. And there's been a reputation established that if a church is in here, we're going to have problems. We're going to have rent unpaid. We're going to have things untaken care of, or things are going to happen that are outside the confines of their contract. It's the same in the marketplace. Amen. And God is raising up a generation, I believe, of kingdom influencers. Amen. That is going to bring transformation in your spheres of influence. Say, it's our time. Amen. It's our time to make a difference and to begin to bring a kingdom shift in what our feelings out in the marketplace. Often banks will not loan money to ministers because of the general reputation they have of being a bad risk. Should not be so. Come on now. God's called us not to be borrowers, but to be lenders. Well, banks should be asking us for money. Hallelujah. How many of you know we need a kingdom shift in the marketplace? Come on now. As I prophesy, I hear more today than I did 5 years ago or 10 years ago. It's like there is a major thrust on entrepreneurs, and more entrepreneurs are being identified, and young people don't even know what an entrepreneur is. Come, but God's speaking to children and young people and adults alike about an entrepreneur anointing, amen, that God wants to activate them in their spheres of influence in business, and He wants to prosper them. Come on now, as you're going through this course on the different subjects that we're going to cover, I believe it is going to cause something to stir on the inside of you, amen, that you will be freed, amen, to begin to walk by faith and not by sight. Christian workers with an incorrect understanding of workmanship rob their employers by using company time and facilities for witnessing. Instances such as this have resulted in creating a crisis for Christian business people. Now, let me tell you, I'm a kingdom man, and I love witnessing to people. As a matter of fact, I pray for people right on the spot. But here's one thing I won't do. I won't stop a poor waitress in the restaurant to activate my ministry and to get her in trouble with her employer, because the employer is watching back from behind the counter and he sees that she's taking too long at the table and you're holding her hand trying to pray for her and she's at risk of losing her job and you're trying to pray for a financial miracle. Look at somebody say, shouldn't be so. Amen. So we have to have wisdom in the marketplace on ministry and activating the ministry so that, amen, we don't create offenses and we can shift this reputation, amen, of being kingdom influencers. I hand out cards. I hand out cards with a scripture and a prayer on the back. Amen. And you can do things without robbing people from time on their jobs. Instances such as this, amen, have resulted in creating a crisis for Christian business people. Now we must address this problem through re-educating Christian business people relative to their responsibilities in religion, to work, and finances. One objective of the Seven Mountain Kingdom Influencers program is to train Christians in the purpose of work and why we as business people are called by God to work. Say, I'm called to work. You know, it is so sad that people are learning to live on government today and learning to live on program-driven programs, amen, rather than working. And it's sad in our government that is doing that, amen, because people can make more money doing that than they can working on their jobs. It should not be so. Amen. It's very evident as business people in competition in the marketplace. Amen. We know there has to be a kingdom. We need revival in the marketplace. We need revival in government. We need turnaround. Amen. In our corporations in America. Look at somebody say, we need turnaround. Amen. Amen. So we must address this problem through re-educating people in the Seven Mountain Kingdom. Hopefully, just as Japan was able to turn around its reputation, amen, throughout the world, we will see the way people look at Christians begin to turn around as well. Everybody say, turn around. Amen. It's time as the kingdom for us to turn around. Amen. Look at somebody and say, God is so good. Amen. We're going to turn over here. Understanding workmanship. Amen. The definition of work. According to Webster, is it's physical or mental effort exerted to do or to make something, employment at a job or in a position, occupation, profession, business, trade, or a craft, or a deputyship, a ministry, employment, or a thing that is made. Amen. According to Strong's Concordance, is very much the same definition. Workmanship is defined as the skill of a workman. Say the skill of a workman. Amen. And the quality of work or craftsmanship. Now, scriptural foundation in Genesis 2 and 2, it says, God worked. Say, God worked. Amen. It says, and by the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had done. It's interesting to note that the first reference to work in the Bible relates to God's work in creation. Say, God's work. Amen. So we can say that God instituted work. Amen. And he was the first business person. I have a picture in my office, amen, of Jesus as a businessman. And guess what he's doing? He's washing the feet of other businessmen. Say work ethic. God, say quality. Amen. Learning to have that servant heart in the sphere of influence and in the place where God has you. But he was the first business person. The Bible refers to creation as his handy work, which means craftsmanship. Amen. Can you imagine God creating anything which was not exactly as the plans that were required? That's why I love reading the book of Leviticus. I remember a time when I didn't really like to read Leviticus because I couldn't stay awake to read Leviticus. I felt like a broken record. But then God began to reveal to me. God begins to teach us his exactness. Come on, the Bible says that he changes not. Amen. He is a craftsman and he does things right and he does it in a certain way. And if it wasn't done the way that he ordered for it to be done, it wasn't received and the priest had to go back and prepare the sacrifice all over again. You know, there would be people today that would just get ticked off if somebody doesn't accept what you do. Come on now. Amen. And how many business people do I have you in here tonight that are in your own businesses? Come on now. And so that exactness and that quality in your work is very, very important. Amen. But God has a reputation of doing things exact and doing it the right way. We need to incorporate, amen, these attributes of the Father of exactness, of quality, of workmanship, and of craftsmanship. Adam worked, Genesis 2:15. It says, then the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden, amen, to cultivate it and to keep it. The first thing God had Adam do was work. Everybody say work. Work. You'd be shocked how many people today that do not want to work. Come on, I have 7 grandsons that live right with me there at CI Central, and I'm trying to teach these grandsons from 13 to 20 now, amen, a work ethic. You know, sometimes you got to get your hands dirty. Sometimes, you know, things shaking. You got to get used to it. Work is not always easy. You know, you don't look for the easy way out. Work costs you something. You get calluses and you get, you know, you develop certain things, but you learn a work ethic, amen, and how to invest yourself into your jobs. Then later he told him, name all the animals. Amen. This was a mental work. Adam was not told to preach or prophesy or even to pray. Come on. He was told to work. Everybody say work. Now, an amazing point is that when we look at the definition of the word work we found in Strong's Concordance, we see that one of its principal definitions is ministry. So it turns out that the first ministry was work. Amen. Say it was work. Amen. God validates you through your work. Amen. And your work, your skill, it represents who you are. It represents your capabilities and the qualities that God has birthed on the inside of you. Amen. So it turns out that the first ministry was work. When we look back into Genesis, it's difficult to believe that we have come as far as we have in misinterpreting the importance of work. Amen. In God's place in his kingdom and for his church. Amen. To evidence right work. I had a elders meeting in Dallas, Texas. And it was a 3-day meeting with elders. And I've done that several times where we just spent time with elders and just training and talking and building relationship and transparency and talking about life issues and problems and situations. And about the third day, one of the elders finally spoke up and he began to release something that was on his heart. And he said that he worked for a corporation that was not treating him according to his contract. And he got a contract offer from a new corporation that offered him almost double the income, almost double the benefits. And the job just looked grandeur compared to the job that he has. So he accepted the contract. He said, when I went to work for the new corporation, amen, that, things just didn't work out the way that the contract said. And so, you know, the extra pay on the paycheck wasn't there, and the hours that was and conditions were not the way that it was proposed to him. And the benefits were far less than the ones that he had with the previous corporation. And so it seemed like nothing was working. And he said, but he couldn't go back to the other corporation. And so he stuck now in the place that he was at. And so he found himself, every day it was a grind getting out of bed and knowing that he was going to go to work to do a job now that he just did not want to do, and he knew he wasn't going to be treated fair on the job. And so he began to talk about the business, talk about the job, and he began to pour out his complaint going back and forth to the workplace. Finally, one morning he was driving to work and God spoke to him in his car. And this is what God said. Why are you cursing the ground where your seed comes from? And he said, God, they shorted me on my seed. My seed has been lessened and they've taken away from me and they've not really given me what they promised. But God said, if you don't start blessing the seed, the ground where your seed is coming from, I can't bless your seed. Come on. And so he repented. And God told him, I want you to go and repent to your employer. And so he got an appointment with the CEO and he sat down with him and he said, I have to repent. Naturally, the CEO is like, what does that even mean? Come on. And he begins to repent, saying that I've been cursing your business because I've been so dissatisfied as an employee because you made me all these promises and none of them have come through. But he said, if you will allow me to keep my job, I'm going to shift my confession and I'm going to be to work early every day and I'm going to begin to pray for your business. Naturally, the employer was like, well, at least the man's honest, you know, keep working. It wasn't our intent. We didn't intend for you to be shorted on anything. But to tell you the truth, the corporation went into a real dive at the time that you walked through the doors. Come on. I'm telling you this story because God has you where he has you for a purpose, and you can bring a kingdom shift and you can make a change. Come on. He said he got to work early every morning and he began to walk the perimeter of that corporation and he began to pray over that business. And in 2 months, the business began to come out of its landfall. Amen. And it got contracts that superseded any contracts that it ever had. And the business went from being the bottom all the way to the top. Come on now. And the CEO called him in and not only gave him the money that they promised, but he gave him back pay and he gave him more money. Look at somebody and say, you can make a change. You can cause a kingdom shift, but we must not murmur and complain about the place that we have or the work or, oh God, I've got to get up and I got to go to work again today. And that person on the assembly line or that person at the cash register or amen, and begin to bless the business. I heard Robert Gay preaching his message on putting the enemy under your feet. And he said, every day when you go out the front door of your house, begin to jump up and down and say, ashes, 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 ashes under my feet. The enemy is ashes under my feet today, and I'm going to prosper according to the word of the Lord. Amen. Look at somebody say, break out. Amen. So work is not a curse. Say, it's not a curse. Amen. It's a blessing, and it's anointed, and it's created by God to accomplish his purpose. Now, if God worked and directed Adam to work all of this before the fall, then work is not a curse. We have taken the scripture that Adam was to earn his bread by the sweat of the brow to mean that work was part of the curse on man from sin. This is not true. What does it mean? Is it that before man sinned, Adam worked and knew that his efforts would produce fruit, results, and products. Amen. After the fall, Adam still work. But now he did not have the surety that his work would produce the success or fruitfulness it did before the fall. This is why he sweated. The sweat came from the fear he would sow and not reap. This is a follows that analogy that I just give you, amen, that he would work and not be fruitful. Look at somebody say, I'm going to work and be fruitful. I'm going to cast down murmuring and complaining. Amen. So why do we work? Why do we work? You have 7 points in your workbook there. Amen. Work was instituted by God, and work has a purpose. Say, it has a purpose. Amen. Work supplies our needs. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat. Amen. Work supplies your need. Work helps develop Christian character, and it's part of God's process. Work provides the ability to give and to bless others. Work provides the opportunity to demonstrate how Christians live. 1 Thessalonians 4:11, amen, through 12. Work glorifies God. Amen. Work prepares us for his kingdom, for ruling and reigning with him here on the earth. Look at somebody say, work is important. You know, I'm excited that all of you are here tonight and that we're doing this class up here in northern Indiana, because you are the church representing the kingdom of God in the marketplace. And we hear prophetically what God wants to do in the church, and how God wants to shift the church, and how that God wants to bring the church to the next level. Amen. Amen. But it's only going to be as we submit ourselves to him and we say, I surrender. Come on, God. God, I want to be taught a better way. I want to learn a better way. I want to shift from just getting by to shifting into the land of more than enough. Amen. Say more than enough. Amen. And at the end of this meeting, somehow, Pastor will let me, amen, just want to lay hands on everybody quickly, amen, and break any curses or anything that would cause a limitation about northern Indiana or wherever you're from here tonight, amen, and so that you will begin to prosper. And the remainder of this class, this course, will bring an inspiration in your spirit and knowledge to you that will cause you to begin to prosper. Some other scriptural examples of work and anointed people. One was Joseph. Joseph excelled in every job or situation regardless of the circumstance. Colossians 4:23 says that whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord and to the best of your ability. As Joseph applied himself, he was promoted until he was the second in command of all of Egypt, and as a result, he was able to deliver the nation of Israel out of famine and destruction. Don't limit God's promotion in your life. God, don't murmur and complain just about the hard place. This is an interesting message tonight, because I've got 10 fingers pointing back at me. Come on now, that we must begin to seek the kingdom of God on earth. Where did I read that sign at? That was in your building somewhere. Oh, it was in the gymnasium. Okay. Amen. Seeking God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Say, on my earth. You know, sometimes you can't take care of the whole world, but that world that God has you in, you can bring kingdom impact, and you can bring transformation. You can bring conceptual ideas. You can bring a breaking of a poverty spirit. Come on now. And you can bring transformation in an entire community. Joseph was that type of person. You didn't really find Joseph complaining in the pit. I'm sure, amen, that he was wondering, how am I going to get out of here? When he was sold into slavery, I'm sure he was wondering, how am I ever going to get back home? Now I'm losing my identity. And then when he's falsely accused, amen, and thrown into prison for doing everything right, come on. Oh, God, I'm sure he wondered, God, how am I going to get out of here? But one thing that he kept in his heart was his calling and his anointing and the favor of God that was upon his life. Each one of you have a calling, an anointing, and a favor of God upon you, regardless of how hard it gets in the place that you are. Never lose sight of who you are in God. Never lose sight of the anointing that's on your life. Because Joseph was a man that was in prison, and guess what? He learned how to clean the prison floor. He learned how to lubricate the locks on the jail cell. He learned how to do things orderly, and he learned how to be proper and to be nice even when he didn't want to be. And guess what? He ends up with the key to the prison. What is that saying? Is that it doesn't matter how far down you get, God can bless you. Why? Because He has a plan to bring you out of the desperation that you're in into a higher place. That's what God done for Joseph. Daniel. Daniel followed the principles of God. Amen. And he would not compromise. Say no compromise. I mean, Daniel was going to pray 3 times a day regardless, and he was not going to compromise. Come on now. He wasn't going to eat just from the king's table and just what everybody else eat. No, he was not going to compromise the word of the Lord. I believe as kingdom influencers that you have to be uncompromising with the word of the Lord. Amen. And you need to know that God has sent you to the place that you're in. And you know what? Some of us haven't really sought God about the place that we're in. And some of us just landed in the place that we're in. But guess what? Regardless of where you're at, it all belongs to God. Come on now. And God has you at the place that He has you for such a time as this. I heard the word over this house this morning. Come on now. I know the plans and the purpose that God has for the river. I know all of those that are connected to the river in whatever form. I know that God has a plan, amen, that you're going to supersede. Look at somebody and say, get yourself ready. Get your girls out. There's a greater acceleration. We must not forget Jesus, the carpenter, Peter, the fisherman. We must not forget Paul, the tent maker. Come on now. And multitude of others, craftsmen in the Bible. As a matter of fact, all the apostles of the Lamb were all business people appointed to be apostles. Say, there's an anointing on me. Just lay your hand on your heart, will you? I'm telling you, I just by the Spirit, there's something happening in this room right now that is very electrifying. Come on now. And God is going to shift your attitude. He's going to shift your confession. Amen. He's going to shift, amen, your faith. He is going to shift your vision and your dream. And God is getting you into a new alignment so He can release new assignments to you. And Father, I activate that word right now. In Jesus, align them, Father. Everything that's out of alignment, begin to, oh God, even though they feel a little quivering, oh God, in the shifting process, align them, God, so you can reassign them. God, that this will be their season of breakthrough to their next level. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You have 4 principles of workmanship. One of those is attitude. Look at somebody say, you need to get attitudinized. That means you need an attitude change. Hallelujah. Amen. I like what I heard John Maxwell say, and I quote, you can't be a smart cookie and have a crummy attitude. Come on now. You got to have the right attitude when you get out of bed in the morning, when you arrive on the job, even though you're sad about things or maybe not happy about things, get happy. Come on, God can make you happy. Why? Because He's your provider anyway. Come on now. Hey, He can cultivate the ground where you're at, and He can cause the seed, amen, to begin to develop in the place that He has you. We must recognize that work is ordained by God and is a vital part of His plan. Often our attitude concerning work is incorrect and requires changing before we view work correctly in accordance with God's word. Some of you here tonight, throughout this course over the next several weeks, you need to allow God to change you. Come on, you just need to lay yourself at the altar of the Lord and say, God, shift my work ethic. God, shift my attitude. God, shift my craftsmanship. God, shift my feelings about myself, God. God, I'm a good person, Lord. I look all right. I feel all right. I can do all right. God, I'm happy with your creation. Come on, I hear God say that to people all the time. I'm happy with you. I'm happy with my creation. And I want you to be as happy with you as I am with you. Say, God, I want you happy with me. God, I pray during this course that there's a kingdom shift on the inside of you. And that God shifts our attitude, amen, to that next place. We must also realize, amen, that God calls us to business and therefore anoints us and gives us authority to prosper in the vocation or place that God has called you to. Say, He has anointed me to prosper. He doesn't have to move me. He doesn't have to take me to another place. God is able. Right where I'm at. to change me, to prosper me, to use me, to fulfill me, to activate me, and to cause me to excel. Say, God is able. You know, I'm afraid there's too many people looking for a way out. Let me give you a real quick testimony. I have had a doctor in Cincinnati, Ohio, and Dr. Vanderpool, good doctor, great doctor, and he gave me good service, amen. And so I took him to conferences from time to time. He wanted to go to the business conferences and the prophetic conferences, and I would take him to different conferences, and he planted a church, and so he is a doctor full-time, and he's also planting a church, and he was falling so in love with the church that he was falling out of love with the doctor's office, and then he is complaining, I gotta go to all these meetings, and they do all this drinking, and they do all the, and they, you gotta have all of this involvement, and ooh, I'd like to just be out of all of that, ooh, and just like to be in church where I can praise and worship and pray and just woo, and get out of all that atmosphere. And we're driving while he's telling me all of this stuff, and all of a sudden I could feel the Holy Spirit in me. And he said, begin to talk to him and tell him this, isn't it interesting? You're looking for a way out, and I'm looking for a way to get people in. Come on, some of you are looking for a way out of the place that God has you. And God says, no, I'm looking for a way to get people into the place right where you're at. You need to take the anointing of Queen Esther and say, why not me? Why shouldn't it be me? Say that with me, would you? Why shouldn't it be me? Amen. And that God will prosper you. Amen. One of those principles is also vision. We must look beyond the day-to-day task which we perform on our jobs and our businesses and see how these small or possible unimportant appearing responsibilities are a part of a larger vision. As we lay hands on you tonight, I want to impart an enlargement of vision on the inside of you that you will excel to that next level. Amen. We must have a vision that what we are doing fits into God's overall purpose and plan. Amen. Look at somebody and say, you are not a misfit. Come on, you are a perfect fit, and everything that you have invested right up to this time of your life, whether you thought it was too much or too less or not good enough, regardless of what you have invested, God said, I'm taking everything in your life that you have invested and I'm recalculating for you, and I'm ready to relaunch you and to reestablish you and to reignite you with a fresh vision. Say a fresh vision. I come to a conclusion in the marketplace in doing the types of jobs that I'd done. I'd done all types of complexes and condominiums and townhouses and high rises, and we'd done multiple types of facilities, and there was so much competition in the workplace, and finally the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, now you've got enough experience, I want you to make money. I said, well, I agree. What do you mean by that? He said, I'm going to shift you out of the type of business you do to a total different type of business. So God in 1 year began to shift me in contracts out of doing competitive work where there was no competition at all and they was looking for me all the time. Come on, I shifted from bidding jobs to jobs sending me the contracts to just sign. God will favor you in the place that you're at. Come on. And He can shift the position, the condition, and the entire situation, and He can prosper you. Let God increase that vision. And then the third one was workmanship. Workmanship requires knowledge and skill. Listen, church, you have to apply yourself in the place that God has you. You cannot just not know nothing and not do anything and not make an investment. You need to make an investment where you're at so God can prosper you and fulfill you. Amen. And the fourth one was continual improvement. We must experience as our teachers and learn to apply the wisdom and advice of those who have gone before us. Workmanship and quality come from always looking to do whatever it is we do better the next time. Amen. This is called a process of continuous improvement. Amen. We cannot be stagnant in our jobs and our businesses. We must open to change and always be prepared to learn and improve and do better. Look at somebody say, I'm going to do better. Okay, I'm starting to close now. The process to change our work habits and to become the business people God wants us to be starts with a simple decision to do just that. Look at somebody say, do it now. Amen. We make a conscious decision out of these next six classes that you're going to be doing that God, I'm going to shift and I'm going to be the business person that you really called me to be. Come on. You may be working as an employee right now. A real quick testimony. I ministered over a businessman in St. Louis, Missouri. As a matter of fact, he was the CEO, president of one of the largest barrel manufacturers in the world in St. Louis, Missouri. And the man had called through the pastor and said, do you have anybody that can come and pray for me? Well, I was just coming into St. Louis that particular weekend. And the pastor said, would you consider going to this barrel manufacturer and praying for this businessman? And I went in to talk with this businessman and I sat across the table from him. And he just looked like a very, very simple man. Amen. But he said that every decision that I make, I pray. And I don't do anything unless God says, do it. And he said, I'm faced with a major decision right now, and I've got to hear God. Unfortunately, he wouldn't tell me what the decision was. Amen. So naturally, I was sweating a little bit. Amen. When I sweat, I normally don't hold hands because my palms get wet. Amen. And so I prayed for him, and God spoke a word to him, and the word was on target. Father spoke to him directly and gave him a word on target in relation to his business. We learn as business people to do activations and stirring up the prophetic in you. Come on now, to where we learn how to zero in on that prophetic, that need that you have in the marketplace or in your jobs. We've done prophetic ministry, Apostle Janet, where we've done sealed envelopes and have you write it out. What is the answer that you are needing? And then let us pray and then let us look in the envelope. Come on now. And guess what? God will hit it every time. Come on now. You can learn to be keen and skilled in your prophetic mantle. That Holy Spirit in you is so sharp and he just wants to be activated. He wants to be turned on and released on the inside of you. I asked that businessman, I said, how did you get into the position that you're in? He said, it's easy. When I was 16 years old, I started sweeping floors in this plant. I started as just a young kid getting a tip, sweeping the floors. He said, by the time I was 18, I began to buy shares. And I took all the money that I made doing house cleaning in this plant, cleaning up all the ashes and all the debris from barrels and organizing and restacking things. And it kept growing and I kept buying shares until I ended up with 51 shares of the business. Come on now. No high school education. No diplomas. Had dyslexia. Couldn't read. And had a hard time writing. Come on now. Look at somebody and say, it just doesn't matter. Now, don't disqualify yourself. God qualifies those that he calls. God is able to take you all the way from the bottom and all the way to the top in the sphere and the place that God has you. Say, God's able. Amen. We're going to pass out some workmanship pledge sheets. We have those ready to hand out. While they're handing out this work pledge sheet, I pray that you've received something from this impartation tonight. Amen. Amen. And as you get this workmanship pledge, we're going to read it together.
Rachel, amen. Can you help?
We're going to read it together. And amen. But this is a pledge. God, we want to surrender to you. And God, I want to bring the gift that I have. And God, even that I don't know that I have, that I'm seeking for. And I want to bring it to you. And God, I'm asking you to stir up in me, to activate in me. I'm asking you to quicken in me. And I'm asking you to release your kingdom anointing in me that I can be a kingdom of God influencer. I want to make a difference in my sphere of influence. Mothers, if your employment is at home, Amen. God will bless you in your home, and He'll have you impact everybody in your community. You'll get grocery stores saved, Walmart saved, Target saved. Hallelujah. Amen. My wife goes into a Target or a Walmart. First thing she does when she goes in the store is leans on her buggy and pushes her buggy. And the first person she sees, she just starts talking to them. Oh, you need a hug. Glory. And she's hugging people. And guess what? People are hugging her. Come on. I walk over and try to do the same thing. So get away from me. But you can make a difference. God wants you to use it. He wants you to get out of that place of excuses. Come on now, and get into a new place of declarations and decrees. Has everybody got their workmanship sheet? Amen. And we're just going to, I'm going to ask you just to lay your hand on that piece of paper. And Father, I pray for each one in this room right now. And Lord, as we look at this workmanship pledge, Father, and they each one sign it. And you're going to keep this, and you're going to frame it, and you're going to put it on the wall, make a copy and put it in your car, and put it in places where you can remind yourself, where it will be visible. Lord, I pray for each one, oh God, that tonight, through the hearing of your word, oh God, there's a change, there's a shift that is happening on the inside of each one of them. And God, I charge their spirit to be able to go to that next level. Father, I take authority over insecurities, over abuses, over a spirit of failure, over a spirit of lack. God, over things that try to put fear in their ability and their talent, feeling awkward or feeling backward or feeling, Lord, that they could never succeed. Some feeling like they live at the bottom because that's what they deserve. Lord, I take authority over abusive spirits and word curses and generational sins of the fathers and generational sins, oh God, of families, oh God, that has tried to impart and convey wrong attributes in them. God, I take authority over sexual abuse and physical abuse and mental and verbal abuse right now in Jesus' mighty name. I just see a snapping in the mind and a reigniting with the heart. It's like God is rewiring you right now. Come on now, to be the man and the woman that He created you to be. Father, charge their spirit. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. We're going to read this together. Amen? Are we ready? Now try not to read ahead of me. And I'm going to read slow enough that we can all read together. Ready? Work is ordained of God and was instituted by Him in the creation. And when He commissioned Adam to keep and dress the garden and name the animals, through His own labors and His call to Adam to work, God has sanctified work, and because He has called me to this vocation, I believe He has given me an anointing and the authority to carry out His call. For these reasons, I pledge to perform my appointed work at all times as unto the Lord. I will diligently perform my task and carry out my responsibilities with the highest standards of excellence and quality. I will at all times strive to provide my employer and customers with the best possible products and services. If during my work I encounter difficulties or problems, I will seek God's wisdom and counsel. My abilities, gifts, talents, time, attitude, and motives will be dedicated to scriptural workmanship. And I'm going to ask you, by the Holy Spirit and the help of the Father, just to sign and date, amen, your workmanship pledge, amen, on this day, Sunday the 7th, October the 7th, amen, signed, Apostle Dr. M. Leon Walters. Did we put the Christian on the back side of it after you sign it? If you will turn that over, we're going to read this together. Christian quality. Is everybody ready? Everybody with me? Okay. Are you ready? Here we go. quality work delivered under all conditions without complaint. We focus on excellence in all that we do. Service is our commitment to our fellow workers and our customers, the Christian worker. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering, a praise offering. Amen.